You would bring your pitchfork.
The new place, I bought a new place, it's just 2 blocks from my house. But Jerry built it 20 some years ago. So we're doing an addition on it, I just need to rebrick it on the back.
Okay. We're gonna go ahead and start.
So, and is anybody coming, can you see?
Yes.
Okay, we'll give them 30 seconds. Oh, okay. Okay. Just coming in, we'll do that. Thanks for being here, you guys. A little different meeting day than our normal, so appreciate you being able to make that work in your schedules. Just a quick, yeah. So Amber's got a sign up there for those that are in attendance with us. If you will make sure your name gets on there for our record, that'd be appreciated. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and call to order our Board of Trustee meeting for the North Davis Fire District. It's 6 p.m. here on the 8th of August. This is being held at Station 41 in West Point. Those in attendance with us tonight, here on my left, your right, our newest member, Ricky Carlson, thanks. Megan Ratchford, Jerry Chatterton, Nancy Smalling, and Brian Vincent, Scott Wiggle, Mark Shepherd, Annette Judd, and Tim Roper. If you have an agenda, there's an agenda over on the counter there. If you'd like one, we're gonna go ahead and ask Chief King if he will offer a prayer for us and then lead us in the pledge tonight.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to come together as a community and to be able to discuss the needs of the North Davis Fire District. Father, we're grateful for our community and our citizens that support us. We're grateful to be able to support them as well. Father, we ask you to please watch over the men and women that are serving our community at this time. Bless them that they'll be safe and that they'll be able to return home to their families when their time comes. Father, we ask you to please watch over each of us in this room tonight. Bless us that we'll be able to make decisions that are the right decision for the district. We ask you to please watch over each of us and to help us to be understanding to each other's opinions and ideas. Father, we ask thee for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chief, thank you for that. We are here. This is a truth and taxation meeting. The agenda items that we are here to discuss tonight is property tax rate for the North Davis Fire District and then approval for a final budget for fiscal year 2025. Seeing that both of those have public hearings on them for the opportunity for the public to speak with those items, we are going to skip the citizen comment, our item 4 on that tonight. And we'll move right into presentation. So we'll turn time over to Chief Ecraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the presentation, we've just wanted to hit on highlights that we've been going through with the approval of the tentative budget and the numbers that we had. And it's also kind of geared to educate the public, the state of the district at the time and where we're at. So we're gonna talk about the service area, the call volume, overlapping calls, the explanation of revenue and expenditures in our FY 2025 budget. So the district data, you know, the service areas, Clearfield City, Sunset City, West Point City, and areas of unincorporated Davis County, and the MIDA installation up in Clearfield, and eventually Sunset as well. And I think also a lot of unincorporated out in West Point as well. which expands our area. The population right now, you know, 2020 was 32,000, Sunset City 5,500, and West Point City 11,000. That's changed in 2023. The census tract, Clearfield City about 35,000, Sunset City stayed about the same, and West Point is, of course, you know, is growing at 12,479, and they're still building now. And we also have quite a bit of development going on in Clearfield. So that's just to give you an idea. This is just, I'm going to let Chief, our operations chief, King, kind of discuss call volume right now with you.
Yeah, so on this this graph that we've got up there, you can see it goes all the way back to 2005 when the district came together. You can see that they had a total of 2,000 calls roughly over about a 10-year period. When it hit 2014-15 area, you can see there was about 1,000 call increase in that 10-year period. And you fast forward again another 10 years to where we're at in 23-24 area, and we're in 23, we were about another 1,000 calls ahead of that. The thing that's not alarming but concerning to us is we're already at 2,504 calls for the year. We're projected to hit about 4,500 calls this year, which is creeping up way quicker than the rest of that graph has been showing us. That's concerning to us for many reasons. Over the last probably 5 years, you can see that we've trended pretty consistent. This year already, our fires have gone up significantly. We passed what we had in 2021 already this year, and we still have 5 months to finish up in the year. Our medical calls are up, everything's up, and so we wanted to just kind of show that the trend is not staying where we thought it would for the 10-year progression. And then in this one, the highlights in this that we wanted to point out is we've stayed pretty consistent year to year. We went 2022, 23, and 24. We were showing where it says calls in progress, zero calls in progress. What that is about 34% of the time. So a third of our day, if you look at it, about out of 8 hours, we don't have an apparatus on a call. What they're doing during that time, we have firefighters that are doing fire training, medical training, any day-to-day operations that we may have. They're out doing public addresses. They're doing vehicle maintenance, station maintenance. We clean our facilities. They have to do a report, which is usually about 30 minutes to an hour after every single call that they go on. Plus, they got to have time to sleep in there. So about a third of their time is taken up with that. We had about 48% in 2022, and that trend has stayed pretty normal. So in 2024, we had 47% where we had one call going on in the district, and that could take as little as one ambulance or one fire engine, or it could take as much as five of our apparatus and wipe every one of us out. So in 2024, we've hit 14% where we had two calls going on at the same time. We had 127 times that we had three calls going on. Four calls we had 15 times already this year, and then we've had five calls going on at the same time one time this year.
That was just to give the board an idea of the trend of the district. We're going to talk about revenue. It's pretty basic here. We have impact fees, which the board is aware has slowed way down compared to previous years. That's due to the market. And that's restricted revenue, as you know. The next is property taxes, which is our main source and the most dependable source. Ambulance fees, collections depend on demographics, transfers, and contractual write-offs and the ability to pay for services. And that's probably one of the big hit items here tonight is ambulance revenue. Unfortunately, the demographics of the district is so that we just have, you know, like about two-thirds Medicaid, Medicare, and self-pay. And that that's a huge amount, and we get pennies on the dollar for those, for collections, which our collection rate for the North Davis Fire District is about 36%. You know, in years past, it used to be if we got, and the cost of ambulance supplies and everything has went up potentially like 150, at least 150%. So it used to be that we would, if our ambulance supplies went up, that was okay because that meant we were going on more calls and we were collecting more revenue. That's kind of changed now in the economy we're in right now, and we're actually spending more and collecting less. I'm not sure if that's because of Obamacare or what the insurance companies are doing, the federal regulations on Medicare require it. We can't collect any more than what they allow, their allotment. So the same goes for Medicaid. The transfers, they're a hit and miss thing that we do. We've done inter-facility transfers in the past out of Rocky Mountain, which usually are Medicare or Medicaid, but they're not a stable income. It's an as-needed basis, so it's a roll of the dice whether we're going to get that revenue or not. Last year, ambulance transfers went way down, almost to the tune of $400,000 of budgeted revenue. So that has been a big hit on the district. And we switched billing services. We're being really efficient in capturing every dollar that we can with our new billing service. And our percentages are high for the people that pay. So if they pay, our collection ratio is higher. But so we're trying to be as efficient as we can that way. The other, we have fire incident recovery fees. The board approved that program. Insurance will pay for an actual structure fire or extrication on an incident or anything like that. It's minimal. It's a minimal percentage of our what we collect, and the board has, and we don't pursue any, if it's one of our taxpayers, we don't pursue any collections from them. If their insurance refuses to pay it, then we just write it off. So actually, it's set up, they don't even get billed. So the elderly or whatever that, you know, would receive a bill and pay it, because they don't even receive a bill. It doesn't go to collections. If their insurance pays it, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Plan review fees are minimal. There's minimal revenue. We capture as much as we can to pay for our fire marshal's position in his projects, but it's restricted money. And then just a note that, you know, we're a local district, and we don't receive any sales tax or any utility tax or any of that. So we don't have any of those type of resources. And this just kind of shows the graph. You can see the property tax is a huge portion of it. And the ambulance billing is about 13.77% of our budget. And I alluded to fire incident recovery. It's only 0.41% of our budget. And permit, plan review, and inspection fees, which we have a really robust program for our three cities that we serve, at every business we walk into and review, is 2.22%. Interest and miscellaneous 1.23%, and impact fees are right now at 0.57%. They've been better before, but they're not now. And that I would assume that's directly related to the economy. So this is just a rundown of, I alluded to ambulance revenue from 2019, and you can see it just hasn't increased like the rest of the economy has. But the reason we showed you the call call volumes are increasing, supplies are increasing, but our ambulance revenue is going the opposite way. And there is no way to recoup that, which is it's very difficult. So this just reviews the certified tax rate. And you're all aware, but it's more for the public, to calculate the amount of tax levied by the property owner. Residentially, as you know, is 55% of the value of the residential property, and it's taxable. And we just give an example, on a $300,000 property would be taxed 55% of its value, and that would be $165,000 at the certified tax rate. And that's the amount of property tax revenue the district will receive from the residential property. Commercial property is a 100%. Commercial property is better, but that's what we're doing. The average for the district as a whole, I believe Misty was $470,000, $470,000 valuation on a home. This is just some historical data. 2018, we held the TNT and the tax rate was 1205. In 2019, we accepted the rate. In 2020, we held the rate. And in 2021, that was a larger one, and that's because we took on the paramedic program. And the taxpayers got some relief from the county tax by doing that, which has been a great success. And then in 2022, we accepted the certified rate. And in 23, we accepted the certified rate. And all I can say about accepting the certified rate is I believe the board and everybody was on the same page. We all thought the valuations were going to be steady, and they went down. We didn't know that. So we were doing our due diligence and just accepting the rate that they told us that we were going to get. And that when possibly the board may have wanted to hold the rate that year, you know, I'm not sure. But that's all I have, but I would like to just refer to the tentative budget and the action items that, you know, in our tentative budget is the fact that we have ambulance revenue is a large portion. I'm not telling the board that that's the only reason. Inflation is mixed in there. Our employees in the final budget have a 3% increase. We did a wage study. That's fair and equitable. It's not over the top, and it keeps our employees right where they're at. We did have funding mandates. Tier 2 URS is a state mandate, and it went up, I think it was close to 4%. It turned out to be like $70,000 for the district, because we have more Tier 2 employees now than we do Tier 1. Health insurance increased, liability insurance increased. All of that combined put us in the situation that we're in right now. And then also, I just wanted to touch one more thing on capital. The board has had, we've had a capital improvements plan. It's a liquid plan. The board has followed it for the 15 years that I've been here. We purchase apparatus when it comes due, and we have good equipment because of that, but the board has never really veered from our schedule, and part of that too is firefighter safety. You know, it's all combined. Turnout gear is $2,000 more a set than it was 2 years ago, so it's like $4,000 a firefighter, and that has to be rotated every 7 years. It's actually more important than their wages. We have to provide that, and so with the increase in inflation with the apparatus, I was telling Mayor Vincent the other day, 5 years ago an ambulance costed $160,000, and now they cost $320,000, and you have to order it 2 years in advance, and you're lucky if you get it. and if you don't buy it, somebody else will. We've stayed on course. We haven't went out. We haven't went outside that course, but to stay on course with our capital improvements plan, that's we have to contribute to that every year, and that's also included in the final budget. Does the board have any questions for me or?
I wouldn't have questions, but probably clarification because we do have public here. Mm-hmm. Of just a couple of things.
Okay.
One, our wage increase that we're giving our firefighters this year in comparison to what most of our police departments are doing is small. We're on track and where we should be, but most of our other public service are behind. And so we could have looked at this and justified a bigger increase, but we didn't. And the second would be the tax rate, because, you know, you talk about a tax rate, and, well, we maintained it. And I just think for people's understanding, we don't set that tax rate. You know, that tax rate's given to us by the county. And it is probably the worst system that has ever been devised for taxes. As I talk to my counterparts throughout the country, it's none of them have their property tax rate set by a county. They set it by a city. They set it by a department. They set it by what that is. And so in our case, in Utah's case, the county looks at us and says, last year you got, hypothetically, you know, $10 million. That would be a blessing but that's not the case. But they tell us you got $10 million. They then do a survey of what the, and they'll say that that's, you know, 10%. Now your 0.0010, you know, percent, that's your rate. Well, then they look at it this year and say, okay, in order for North Davis Fire District to get the exact same amount, this would be the rate. So property values have gone up, so we're going to lower their rate. Well, that's a really challenging thing to look at and say, well, okay, district, live on what you lived on last year. And the only thing that changes is if you built more homes into your area or buildings or whatever that is. That's the only change you are allowed to have unless you go to the residents and do a tax increase. Even though it might be the same, even though you say, you know what, we're going to keep the same tax rate. We're going to keep a 0.00010 this year. We're going to do, that's what we had last year. We're going to keep it, even though the county said we should be 0.0009. Well, we're going to hang on to that. Even that, we still go to the residents and tell them we're holding on to that rate because we have some growth. Well, for the last years, as you showed on your chart, we didn't do that. We kept the rate whatever the county said. We said, you know what, it's within our budget, we're doing okay. But we base that budget on what we estimate the values will be, which they weren't. We also estimate that with that budget on revenue. And when you knock all of a sudden a huge chunk of money, $400,000+ out of a budget because they don't need us to transfer patients anymore, and with the ambulance revenue we do bill, we don't collect it, we still have to take care of those people. We don't have a choice. If they call and need an ambulance, we send them a bill, and 34% of them get paid. But you still had to do the work, and you still had to pay for the supplies, and you still had to pay for the ambulance itself, and you still had to pay the wages, which were higher this year than they were last. And you have to factor all of that in and then say, yeah, but we're only collecting 34%. Well, how do you function within that and then have a county come back and say, by the way, no new money for you. We know everything you have went up, doesn't matter. You get the exact same amount you had last year, and you lost revenue. So not only do you get that amount, but you're going to lose out of your budget another $500,000. That's just, that is what I just, when we look at those rates and see that, it just looks like, well, yeah, okay, that's great. But it's a flawed system. It's flawed on a city level, and the district has to follow the same program that the city does.
Yeah, so they have, and I would actually say, too, it's flawed on a, I'm not getting political here, but on a federal level with Medicare and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. I realize that we're all paying into that system or whatever, but it's not
paying back.
It's not
if we
paying,
have to bill them, they should still pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either tell us they get a reduced rate or something else, and that's all that's going to be paid, or, you know, accept the fact that that population is older, uses more of our services than anybody else, and we have an aging population. Yes, we're blessed because we're getting some new homes and we're getting some younger folks moving in, but the majority of our calls are medical calls, and they're not for young kids.
Mm-hmm. No, and they're not actually, in our demographic, they're not for young West Point could kind of be a little bit different of a scenario, but it's not young families that it's our demographic. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to recoup that other than tax-wise. I mean, it insurance-wise, it seems like the people that have good insurance pay for the people that don't pay. I don't know.
Well, and the other note that I wanted to make is that, because we didn't bring it up in our discussion, 4 years ago, we started down the process of building a new fire station because we desperately needed it. I had a resident say, wow, you just built a gorgeous, beautiful building for, you know, that's too nice. I saw pictures of it, and that's just too nice. And I thought, well, that's pretty lame of you to say that. I mean, no offense, but this is where these guys live. For the time that they are on duty, they live there. And I wouldn't want either of my sons, who are police officers, and my son, who's a firefighter, have to live this is what you got, and sorry, but, you know, Station 42, that's what it was. It was built in the 70s, 60s,
yeah.
And it was way underbuilt, and when it was built, there were no female firefighters. And so it was built for a one-sex thing, and it was
volunteer.
Yeah, and it was all volunteer when it was built. And so, I mean, it just the capacity and the use of it was so underdone that we needed to replace it. The cost to bring that building somehow up to standard and to make it a place where our firefighters ought to be, where they can cook a meal and actually go to sleep, would have cost as much as it would to build that new fire station, if not just shy of it. But I know when we looked at the numbers, it was easier to tear it down.
Yeah.
And for the last 2 years, our firefighters have been sitting in a makeshift building in Freeport that was a racquetball court. And that's where they've been living.
And exercising
and doing everything else that they could in that one building. And that's just not fair of us to have to have put them through it, but they didn't. They didn't argue it and say, good grief, what are you doing? Because they knew that the reason for it was that we were going to provide them a better place to live and to be. And most people don't realize, I mean, you know, show up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go home at 5.
Yeah.
And say, see ya, this is great, I'm out of here.
For 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there for 48 hours eating, sleeping, drinking, and hopefully not drinking.
We also have the paramedic program. But
yeah.
Well, the paramedic program is slated to run out of that area geographically, which we are, and it's great, but... I like Mayor also hitting on diversity. We have a lot of females working here, and they're rock stars. They're great, but you know what? They could have complained. They didn't. We all worked together or whatever, but we owed them the correct facilities. And then on top of that, just since you brought it up, seismic, the last earthquake we had, I ordered my firefighters, the first thing you do is go pull vehicles out of the building. So besides the EOC that's for the district, we have a seismic building that's safe for Emergency Operations Center as well, you know.
Yep. Is any of this increase that we're looking for today based on the fact that we have a new fire station?
No.
Thank you for pointing that out. It is not. And I had some people in my community who didn't have all the information as well and were convinced that the reason we were looking at having this rate increase was because we built this Taj Mahal of a fire station. We all agree, as citizens, as well as the board, that we wanted to put our firefighters in the best position to be able to do their jobs, to do them easier, faster, safer every day. But I just wanted to reiterate that this TMT that we're talking about this evening is not about the new fire station. That was done completely a different route. So it was, I'm glad that it was brought up, because there was some misconception that the fire station was the reason that we were looking to increase the tax rate, but it is not.
No, in fact, it's the this board and the prior board, they pulled, we've talked about it, they pulled the trigger at the
perfect time.
I mean, we have a bond at 2.5%, which is unheard of. I don't think we'll ever see that again. Yeah, it was.
The comments, go ahead.
One other comment is that, and you kind of alluded to it in a roundabout way, Mayor Whittle, and, but the increase that we're asking for affects every member of each of these three cities, but it also affects every member of us sitting right here, because we are members of the city. We're citizens of those cities. So we're looking at it from our perspective, and we're looking at it from the fire district perspective. Both, we have to analyze both sides of it and go, well, you know, it's tough sometimes to do it because people are on fixed incomes, and that makes it tough on some of them. Some of them, it doesn't matter, because they've got, you know, they've done well enough in their retirements and stuff, and their fixed income is up there. You know, I'll point out one that I was over at O'Reilly. It's probably been a year or two. And I was just listening to a couple of the guys talk there, and one guy was in talking to the guy behind the counter, and they apparently both worked government jobs and stuff, and then they'd been in the military. And one guy finally said, well, yeah, I get over $8,000 a month from my two retirements. Well, not everybody's that way, but we have to be cognizant of that fact as well. And I think we've done well doing that. I'm concerned that we didn't have the foresight to look at the last couple of years and say, you know, let's do a little bit of an increase. It would have really helped now, but it is what it is, and I wasn't a part of it right back then. I'm not excusing myself from it. I'm just saying that, you know, when you don't want to get in a position where you have to do like some of the cities have done. And I remember, I think it was Kaysville had, they went out one time and said, we're going to do 125% tax increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clinton's at 34, 35% this year for that exact same reason.
Yeah.
That we're sitting here. It's that for the last several years, they just decided it was okay, even though their council was saying, their staff was telling them, we need more. They just didn't do it, and this year they're forced for a lot of that for their fire department.
Yeah, and the other part of that is that as we strive to continue to make things work for everybody, it becomes increasingly harder because we can't. Well, let's go back. Let me go back just a bit. The reason that I believe in truth in taxation is because it gives us another few months to see what the economy is going to do. And this could have gone either way. I think it stayed pretty much steady this time. But I have seen it in the past where if you did truth in taxation every year, then you have that ability to see if the economy is better or worse, and you have to make adjustments accordingly.
Chair, one quick thing to add to Chief Beecraft when he said what we proposed for the three full-time firefighters. In the 40 minutes we've been sitting in this meeting, all 12 of the firefighters that are on right now are actively on three calls. That also taxed one of our neighboring cities to bring personnel in and help as well. So there's nobody left in our district right now. We're relying on outside agencies. So it just really goes to show how truly busy this district is. We just got tapped with three calls in 40 minutes. So. And it sounds like there's more coming right now. So, yeah. So
we got to move along until you two get okay. Any more comments, thoughts, questions for either chief here? Okay. At this time, then, we have the opportunity for a public hearing concerning this property tax rate. So we're moving to item six. Any Do you want to discuss any more about the rate itself?
No.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead. What we'll do is we'll open a public hearing. It's an opportunity for those that are in attendance with us tonight to make a comment concerning item 6. This is the adoption of a property tax rate for the North Davis Fire District. We will invite those that would like to make a comment up to the podium. Please state your name and your address for the record, and then present your comment to the board. Just as a reminder, this is a time for the board to receive information or comments. It's not a time for a conversation. Questions can be asked. Questions won't be answered right now. This is the time for us just to receive those comments. Try to keep your comments, if you can, to 2 to 3 minutes time, and we'll open it at this time.
Do we have a motion to go to the public hearing?
Do we do that here? We don't do that at West Point.
No, we did it at Roy. So,
oh, yeah, okay. We don't.
So we just go ahead.
I'll just go.
It's the chair's decision to declare it open.
It is open. Yep, podium right there.
I'll go first. Robert Thank you. Browning, 106 South 300 West, Clearfield. First comment, I love the color coordination going across here. You start with the blues and browns and just work right on.
Oh my gosh, how about that?
I did not even catch it.
That's great.
I'm kidding.
The other thing is, I don't know how you, and I'm saying you as in the state of Utah, not you as in the board or you as the fire department, can call this truth in taxation, because there is nothing that I have received that explains what's going on. I've come and I've received some more, but I still don't know some basics, like how much is the budget? How much has it increased? I didn't realize they played this silly game. Other states I've lived in, and I've been in boards in your position, our revenues, you know, when property values went up, our revenues increased. You know, life was good. You know, but here it sounds like no. So I think that to have real truth in taxation, I need to know what your budget is, what it was last year, what it'll be next year. You know, because that's how I do it. I sit down and I go, okay, you know, this is how much money I have. This is what I want to spend. I want that new shower. You know, how much does that shower run cost? You know, I'm doing budgeting on home improvements right now, and it's pretty simple, you know, because I cut right through all the stuff. But, you know, I sat here, I've been in the room for however long, 30 minutes, and I still don't understand what I think are the basics, which are what's the budget? What's, you know, it sounds like there's a plan. It sounds like everything's organized, but I get a scary document that says your taxes are going up 892% or whatever it is that they said, which it was a very high number. When you drill down, 22 cents or whatever, but you know, the percentage was fine. And I would like to see how that percentage actually applies. And I'd like to understand who it was that came up with the system that somebody down there just randomly changing numbers on a random basis. But I've already had to deal with those guys down there in Salt Lake, so they always come with great ideas. But I think it will be helpful for you as a district to give those of us just a little bit of whatever, you know. So, yeah, other than them going up and down behind my house all day long, you know. I like the new house, the new firehouse. It looks good. It looks water-wise. It looks green. It's a nice sidewalk to walk on. I walk over there all the time, so you know, it's nice. But no complaints about the service. No complaint about the district. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
The
color coordination.
Thank you, Robert.
Feng Shui.
What's Tom Fitzpatrick, and I do know my address. I'm not going to do the city council room. It's 4215 West, 1050 South in West Point. First of all, I want to just speak in support of this increase. I've been here for a year, and having come from a city in which police and fire is part of the standard budget. And I don't know how it works here, but maybe in question to him, I don't know if you guys meet earlier in the year like cities do and have a certain date you have to have a budget set by. That's the opportunity for the city to come, or the individuals within the city to come and see the budget. I will say that I took it upon myself and I talked to Chief Beecraft. He went over everything that he kind of went through tonight. He opened the door if I wanted to come in and open up the books and take a look at the budgets. He was fine with that, and so I appreciate that opportunity. I do want to say that I also have a son in law enforcement, and any city council or district that supports our police and fire is to be commended. They give their lives. We have a son that almost died in service 12 years ago. And in looking at my taxes, I know people freak out. I don't have any kids in school, and I pay $130 a month to the school district. With this raise, I'll pay about $35 a month for fire department coverage. I'm one of those elderly people that could benefit from an ambulance call down the road. And for me, $35 a month is not bad to have the security and safety of peace of mind. Also, it's only going up $8.50 from what it was last year, which is the price of a Big Mac. So I think that our fire department district deserves this. Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
I'm Gwen Parkin, 254 North, 1600 West in West Point. And I just wanted to ask clarification. I would say that the data that y'all had online ahead of time going through the types of things that were on the slideshow there today was great because it did explain a lot. I did not realize that in the few years that I've lived here that if I needed the ambulance or the fire truck, I'm not going to ever see a bill. I had that privilege in my last city. My mom did not have that privilege when she lives in Salt Lake City, and she had a final bill after my dad died from a heart attack. So I think it's wonderful that that's not going to happen, because we don't have something like Gold Cross here. The only thing that I want to ask is clarifying questions, because even though I work for county government in Salt Lake, I don't understand on the information that was provided of you pointed out we don't get sales tax revenue for anything towards the budget, and so why not? I'm sure that there's legal reasons for that. And is there other types of revenue sources that could be tapped into that are not currently being tapped? Has anybody looked into other possible revenue sources to help when there are these types of budget shortfalls? Because obviously, this whole area is growing. I mean, I've lived here for 3 years and I've seen it grow. So it's obvious that the needs are going to continue to grow, and I would hate to have, you know, the wonderful people that do these jobs that have helped me when I've been in a crash, who have helped me when I've had a car fire in my previous towns. I would hate for y'all to have to suffer any budget shortfalls because revenue is what it is when it comes from just property taxes. So that is my questions. And I am, like you, I am in support of this increase because in the long run, when I look at the percentage was scary, but when I look at it, it's not the percentage of my entire tax bill, it's the percentage of that one line item. So the percentage is a huge difference, but in the long scheme of things, seeing all the benefits that y'all give us, I think it's worth it. So if you can clarify anything on my questions with the taxations or revenues, that would be awesome. If you need time, I'd be down.
Thanks, Gwen.
Hi, I'm Chuck Goldberg. I live down the street here, 606 North on this street. So the chief spent some time with me today explaining the lowdown on all this, so I'm on board with the whole thing. I just have one question, which I think I know the answer to already, but first I'll say that as a former newspaper reporter, you had a pretty sedate meeting here. I've been a part of some really wild ones. I'm just glad I didn't have to write a story. Some of it was because things weren't that well publicized in advance. governing body could have saved themselves a lot of grief had they really put it out there what the story was. So I would encourage you to do more in that regard. I didn't see anything about it. That's why I had to reach out to try to find out. Once I got the lowdown, I'm okay with it. I though would have liked to have seen a graphic showing how the costs have escalated to this point versus the revenue. I didn't see that. That would have been very illuminating if you had put one of those up. Anyway, my question is, why can't you go after some of these people to pay their fair share, as the buzzword is now? So you're collecting more than 34% on ambulance revenue. Is it because they're Medicare or Medicaid and you can't, you got a ceiling there? Is that what that is? Mm-hmm. You're nodding.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I said. That's a great irony in all this, not paying their fair share. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
Chuck, thank you. So without further comment, I'd like to close public hearing.
Motion to close by Mayor Shepherd.
Second.
Second by Jerry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Public hearing is closed. Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Discussion amongst the board members. There was a few questions that were asked. I think it's a good time to clarify.
Yeah, if there was answer the one question from Glenn, if there was another source, trust me, we would have gone after it.
And it has been.
It was, and I will tell you, it was suggested. It was questioned in one of our budget meetings as whether or not we ought to go back to pass the boot or hold bake sales to somehow come up with that difference in, you're probably not going to raise enough to from a bake sale or even pass the boot to do that, and isn't that basically just the same thing with the same people that would be paying that? So,
special districts are held to different rules as well. So.
They are, and so I'd just like to add to that, Title 17, and I just because I sit on the UASD, so we talk about mosquito, water districts, everybody, that question has been asked on the legislative level quite a few times, and it's a big fat no. You're not getting any sales tax. In fact, nobody will even bring that legislation.
Okay. Any thoughts?
I'm really grateful for the people who are here that shared your opinions. I don't think I've ever been in a meeting where everyone who came to speak was in support of what we're talking about this evening, so I'm really quite surprised by that. The budget is a tough thing, and we've gone through it many times, and as the mayor pointed out, if there was another way to find money, these gentlemen would have found it. We've scraped everywhere we can. When you look at the amount of revenue that you lose that we used to be able to collect, medicine is one of the big ones, I believe. When you used to go out on an ambulance call, when you were done, you could get money back for gloves and shots and pills and everything you used. And they put a hamper on how much of that you can actually collect on. The legislature's put a cap on things you can collect on. The federal government, through their two main institutions that pay for health care, put caps on what you can do. And so to continue in an environment where all of us have been hit by everybody for a tax increase, it seems like this year, I just truly appreciate the support of the community that we're in that showed up tonight to show their support for our firefighters.
Ricky?
Thank you very much.
I'd just like to maybe have the chief explain a little bit about how much revenue we are losing with just getting 34%, and some of the conversations you've had with other districts in the surrounding area, what percentages they are collecting.
So, that's a good question. So as you've seen in my presentation, I'm just going to round numbers, 1.1 million. So that's what we're collecting. So we should be collecting 2.5, or if it's 36% or whatever, nobody collects 100%, I know that. But the demographics play a big role. There's a big difference between our neighboring Syracuse versus us, which is about 10 to 15%. And like I talked to you before, I like to use Northview as an example. Northview is a fire district, and they serve North Ogden, Pleasant View, and Harrisville, and they have an 80 to 90% collection rate. That's unbelievable. I don't even think we'd be sitting here if we had that. And I don't have, but we don't have any. So to answer part of that question, we have no ability to collect that. You can send people to collections, or it's against the law to charge more than Medicaid or Medicare pays. And yet, the conundrum is, I still need two people in an ambulance, and they need to leave as soon as somebody calls 911. And that's part of the public service and public safety that we're stuck with.
Chief Beecraft, can I just point out that First Professional, they do our billing. I spoke with Dart, and he said national average, if you take in the whole national average, it's 36% collection.
That's where we are.
Which is not great, but I was like, oh, I felt a little bit better. In addition, I will tell you, people do try to pay their bill, but sometimes they are only able to pay $20 a month for an extended amount of time. So we will, we'll collect, but it may take 3 or 4 years, 5 years to get the amount. So really, it's kind of but they're doing the best they can, but we have to figure out a way to balance that.
Okay. Does that help, Ricky?
Yeah, I appreciate you answering that question. I just wanted the public to hear that question and answer that we talked about before. Thank you.
I have a question. So just to clarify, the percentage of the calls that you go on per company versus single resident versus multi-unit, do you have the breakdown? Do you have an average of what that looks like? Is it, I have a feeling I know what the answer is, but I'd like to just prospect that a little bit further.
Are you talking about whether it be a commercial?
On the calls. So on your calls, how the increase has happened steadily every year, is the percentage waxing or waning from company to single to multi? Like, what's the percentage of calls that you go onto with those individuals?
Fire or medical?
Let's do both, if you have it. Like,
I
an average.
I'd have to query that, but it's probably safe to say that it's a good mix. We have the Freeport Center, so we have a higher percentage of industrial accidents than maybe some, than even Layton probably. But the added high density and the continuance of added high density is going to add to that. I never brought, I mean, we don't collect taxes from school district, and we're building 3 schools in the district right now. I'm not saying that we're responding to the schools every day on medicals, but it adds to it all. So I think Megan, that we could get those numbers, but I do think it's probably a really good mix.
Okay.
Traffic, car accidents are up every year. You guys see the traffic and
can't stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Psychiatric, nowadays, mental illness is huge. We spend a lot of time responding on that.
And the retirement, last question. The retirement, so tier one and tier two, I'm not sure, this was a newer concept for me, so I don't know if you want to kind of address what that looks like for the public, because that went up substantially.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to not necessarily dummy it down.
Paraphrase.
But there used to be tier one. I was a tier one firefighter, and Kurt is a tier one firefighter. And then in 2010, the state went away from tier one, and they developed tier two, and there was a tier two hybrid and just tier two. And they changed the amount of service that you had to do and the amount that they compensated that employee that was regulated. Back in 2010, there was quite a few Tier 1. And now, Tier 1 was a 20-year retirement. And Misty, correct me if I'm wrong, but they bounced around 18 to 19%, right?
Yes.
18 to 19% mandated you had to pay into the state. And then they came out with this Tier 2, and public safety is a little bit different, but it was the same for schools and state employees and everybody. Now it's teetering the other way. Now there's more Tier 2 and less Tier 1, more Tier 1s retiring out. Tier 2 was like at 14, 15%. Now Tier 2's increased to 19, and you got less Tier 1. So we were used to paying what the state regulates every year. They come out with the numbers, and we budgeted up based off the previous year. Hey, it's going to be, you know, this much, and we have this many employees, and it goes off of your wages. So that 3 or 4% increase to bringing Tier 2, which they should have, they should be doing that. I'm a big supporter of that. They should, it was an increase on how much we have to contribute to those employees. And we're not alone there. That's
everybody.
School districts, that's the cities, that's you know, that's everybody.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Any final thoughts or comments?
Just the social media aspect of it. So where do you find all the information? That was actually a really good point.
So that's what I was going to bring up. That's something that we can work on better in getting that information out there quicker. That's something that I'll take on and own that one in putting that out there better and more succinctly. So. Okay.
Comment?
Sure.
I'm excited for the increase, and I'm not excited for the increase. It's kind of like 193's four doors from, or four houses from where I live. And I love it when I need to use it, and I hate it when I don't, because everybody else is using it and I can't get in and out. But the thing I'm alluding to is the fact that I'm excited for the increase, because it puts us where we need to be, and there's no fluff in this. No fluff at all. It is just bare bones budget, what we need to operate. And one of the things that I've always felt like that I was a champion of in the city, West Point City, as well as in the fire district, is I want our people to be paid what they need to be paid, so we're not training people and they're going somewhere else. We pay for the training, they go somewhere else, and I want good equipment, because I've had a fire at my house, I've had medical at my house, and you know, there's nothing more satisfying than having the people there when you need them. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. You call and you know they're coming.
Thank you, Jerry.
I just have one more comment. I like what you said back there, too. Is it Gwen? Sorry. The percentage. I'm glad you looked a little closer into that, because I think that quite often is very misleading to see a 30% hole in the cows. 30%, but if you look a little closer at it and everything, and I think that that's something that I didn't realize until I got into a role like this, that that's what how it broke down. So thank you for reading into that more, not just going by the 30%. That's what I'm trying to get to.
I'm an accounting analyst. I have to.
Well, your shirt fits it too, so.
Okay, we're good? We are to the point of a motion then.
Chair, I would move that we approve resolution 2024-R-08, setting the tax rate for the North Davis Fire District for calendar year 2024-2025.
Second.
Do you have to name what that tax rate is?
Yes.
If I had it,
it's right
in front of me?
There.
Oh, okay, there we go. I just had to shift it into Chief's presentation and pull out glasses and I don't
in yellow.
In yellow. 0.001560.
A motion for approval of the tax rate, as Mayor Shepherd stated.
Second.
And a second by Tim. All right. We'll start down at your end then, Tim.
Aye.
Annette?
Yes.
Mayor?
Aye.
Mayor?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jerry?
Aye.
Megan?
Aye.
Ricky?
Yes.
Thank you. It's unanimous. Okay, we'll move to item seven. This is adoption of the North Davis Fire District final budget for fiscal year 2025. Do you have a presentation on the budget? Do you have anything?
I don't. It's exactly what the tentative was passed, okay. Correct, Misty? It's it hasn't changed at all. I can give you a final number.
Yeah, it's just for those that are present here with us. If you have an agenda, the budget is the last two pages of that packet, if you're interested in seeing that, or if you want to look at that before making a comment.
Misty, do I have that? Huh? Do I have that?
For the board, it has not changed since we discussed this last several meetings. It has stayed the same. Any questions or thoughts for the chiefs on the budget before we do public hearing?
I would say given it hasn't changed since we approved the tentative budget a couple months ago.
It's the big thick one, Gwen.
Oh, Mariah has it right here.
There you go. There, the synopsis one is the one that has the agenda on it for tonight.
Yeah.
If you want that.
And then go down. Should people no, fiscal year 25 budget. Go a little bit up. Sorry. Okay.
Let her drive, Chief.
It's a good thing.
It's the same budget we discussed for.
It is.
Yeah.
I was just pulling it up so that those are here that can see that. If they want to look at that there.
Maybe the summary.
This one here is.
This is all detailed full budget.
Your packet will have it in there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The last two pages are your summary ones. Okay. Gonna go ahead then. I'm just giving you guys a minute to look at that. Gonna go ahead and open the public hearing. Same rules will apply. If you would like to make a comment concerning the budget, we ask you to come to the podium. Please state your name and address for the record. Present your comment to the board.
Seeing no public comment, I move to close the public hearing.
Motion by Mayor Shepherd to close, second by Nancy. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed to that? You got to yell.
Speak up. I'm tired.
I should right here.
Okay.
Bring it back to the board. Any further questions, comments on this one? If not.
Considering there's no questions or comments from the board, I say that we take action and pass resolution 2024-R-09. Adoption of the North Davis Fire District final budget for fiscal year 2025, please.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Riggle and a second by Annette. Ricky?
Yes.
Megan?
Aye.
Jerry?
Aye.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes.
Mayor?
Aye.
Yes.
Annette? Whoa. What if I would have done Tim?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you.
I move to adjourn.
I have a motion for adjournment and a second by Jerry. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.